Hello and welcome to episode 77 of the Fertility Podcast. This is coming out to you on Bank Holiday Monday in the UK, Easter Monday, wherever you are. If you've had a long weekend, I hope it's been nice and I hope you haven't eaten too much chocolate.
The Fertility Podcast is supported by IVF Matters, the UK's first online fertility clinic where you can order tests delivered to your door, have scans at multiple locations and speak to consultants in the comfort of your own home. It's a truly unique way to experience your fertility journey, and you can find out more at ivfmatters.co.uk.
This episode is a little different in that it's got the well-being focus that I like to incorporate after I had a little exchange on Twitter with a lady called Rachel Eyre, who also goes by the Healthy Womb. And Rachel now works with women to help them understand their menstrual cycle and deal with painful periods and get over that pain issue and hopefully get better. And there's so many different ways in which this can be done, which I found so fascinating when I was talking with Rachel. Now, to any gents who are listening to this podcast, I do apologise because the content matter obviously is relevant to women, but I think it is still of interest to you because Rachel does work with guys too, and it might be of interest to you for it might be interesting for you to just understand exactly what weird things can affect a woman's menstrual cycle. And then you can maybe, if your other half is in a bit of discomfort during the month, you could say, what about this? What about that? So don't switch off. Keep listening. So I'm now going to welcome Rachel Eyre to the podcast. Rachel describes herself as the period specialist, amongst other things. She's also known as the period whisperer and the hormone whisperer, all of which are titles that I think are brilliant. And I hope they're on your business cards, Rachel. How are you?
They are, yes.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. And thank you for having me here.
Well, I'm curious to know a bit more about you and the work you do. In light of what I learned from the podcast I did about endometriosis and the ladies I spoke to and the struggles they'd had, I think it's fab that somebody like you exists. So first of all, tell me a bit about your background.
So my background is I was someone with period problems, and I also studied a load of holistic therapies, and I was doing general holistic therapy things. Moved into fertility massage when I discovered that, and I started connecting the dots with my symptoms. I have PCOS, which can present similarly to endometriosis, and then I started studying further and connecting the dots with my nutrition practice and started learning how to chart my cycle, which is a scientific method. And I found it really fascinating that all these signs and symptoms of what's going on in our body, it isn't a sign that your body's broken, that it doesn't work. It's actually a sign that something's not quite right. And you can not only just identify your fertile time by what's going on in your body, but you can also identify whether you're fertile, why you might not be fertile, and actually address all these underlying things yourself without having to necessarily keep going back to the doctor, doing lots of tests and invasive procedures, and kind of take the stress out the whole thing, really.
Well, that sounds amazing. I mean, I know personally that I only started to pay attention to my cycle when we started to talk about trying to have a family, and I realized how little I knew about it. And do you think that's kind of part of the problem, that as women we do tolerate period pain, and as far as our cycles go, we just deal with it, don't we? And we just have what happens each month and don't necessarily address it as something that we need to pay more attention to.
Yes, and to be honest with you, so many other teachers of symptothermal charting and I talk about this because we don't understand why it's not taught in schools. And I'd just like to say period pain is not normal. It's a sign that something is going on, and there are so many things that you can do to address it. Just as a side note, in case anyone's wondering.
I thought it was really interesting that you said about nutrition as well, that
yeah,
you can address it like that. I mean, do you want to just tell me some of, there's so much information on your website, and I will be putting all the details of your website, and you've got a YouTube channel, which we'll talk about, but just some of the like initial things that you've talked about, because we have spoken about it before in this podcast with regards to endometriosis, but things that you say, you know, you shouldn't really have to be dealing with. What do you mean?
So a lot of the foods that we eat are not necessarily the ones that our body needs to make the right hormones. And a lot of things that we can do that are quite simple, such as eating more vegetables, will give our bodies the basic chemicals they need to start making hormones. And there are quite a few simple things like that can help. So for example, with endometriosis and period problems, we look at doing an elimination diet, which is stripping things out for a certain period of time. So it's more eating cooked vegetables, although some vegetables are taken out, not all, and taking out the really common things that tend to upset cycles, such as gluten, dairy, soy, and telling you what you can have as well. It's not just about stripping things out and just feeling really deprived. You can eat plenty of other things, such as clean proteins and good, healthy quality fats, such as avocado and coconut and olive and oily fish. And just seeing how your body and how your cycle reacts and changes to that. And you can just add one of those things back in and you'll see your symptoms will change depending on which foods you're slightly more sensitive to. It doesn't mean you have a full-blown allergy. It just means that those foods might not be something that you can have on a regular basis if you're particularly wanting to conceive for a particular period of time or if you're having particular symptoms. And the really interesting thing is it does change as well. So you'll get people who... they'll need to be a bit drastic to start with just to get their body back into a more sort of healing place. And then once those symptoms have resolved, they tend to be able to add things back in, but just not go crazy.
So when you talk about like starting something like this, would the advice be you start it on the first day of your period or you track your cycle for a month and then start? Because you want to make sure you're doing it at the right time for the next... How far in advance are we talking that you need to start looking at your diet for... it to have an impact on that cycle?
It depends from person to person. Sounds like a wishy-washy answer, but it's very true because everyone is as different on the inside as they are on the outside. It is useful if you start getting some metrics together so you've got a comparison. You don't have to start charting your cycle for a whole cycle first, so you could just think, okay, how long is my period? How painful is it on a scale of 0 to 10, 0 being no pain, 10 being, you know, excruciating agony? You can look at the colour of your period, you know, the texture of your period. All these things give us clues as to what's going on. And most women do know what their periods look like, how long it lasts for, how painful it is, how many days it's painful for, where the pain is. They tend to remember those. So you could start off with that and then compare your next period to it. But it generally does take at least 3 months to start seeing some long-term changes to the cycle.
But I know you've got all these different tips and tricks on your website, so
yeah,
people can go and look at that kind of stuff. And I'm also aware that there might be some guys listening who are like, this is going to just be about periods. but I think it's so fascinating that so much can be done. And I mean, when you describe yourself as a period whisperer and a hormone whisperer with your friends and colleagues, so the kind of results that you're getting, people are being transformed from just following these methods that you've kind of devised with working with the different therapists and the different kind of holistic treatments as you've talked about.
Yeah, it really, as I said, it depends from person to person as to what works for them. So I don't believe in having one protocol that works for everyone. You usually have to be your own sort of health detective, as it were, or your own cycle detective. So it might be for one person that they need to have absolutely non-negotiable 8 hours of sleep every night. Someone else might be able to cope with 4 to 6, but they really, really have to keep their blood sugar levels in check.
So it's really different, obviously.
Yes.
They're also different. Now, some of the other things that I found on your site, womb steams. Talk to me about womb steams.
Right. A lot of people look at me like I'm a bit nuts when I talk about these. They're no more dramatic as a warm bath, in my opinion. So they're really simple to do. You can do them using your own toilet at home. Just give it a good clean first. So what you do is you get something like a Pyrex bowl, boil some water in the kettle, pour it in the bowl. You can use herbs as well. Let it cool down to a temperature where you're not going to burn yourself, so you can do the waving your hand above it. When it's sort of cooled down enough that it's still producing steam, but you're not going to get a burn, you put it inside the toilet bowl, put the seat down, pull your knickers down and sit above it, and the steam will go up into your vagina and it'll start warming up the pelvic area. The theory is that it's going to help break down any adhesions, help soften hard tissue and ligaments. There's 8 ligaments that hold the womb in place, 4 on each side, so it can really help with that, and it can help with the womb position And the womb position can make a difference as to whether you experience cramps or pain during your period. So it can be really helpful. And you can also, if you speak to a herbalist, get various different herbs that you throw in, and it kind of makes like a little tea, and that can have a therapeutic effect as well.
Wow. Okay.
And it feels like having a hot bath. It's just nice and warm and relaxing. And I know plenty of women that read a book whilst doing it or fall asleep.
How long do you should you do, they fall asleep on the toilet? And how long should you do it for?
I say around about half an hour, but however long you're comfortable for, because you are obviously sat on the loo,
yeah.
Which might not be comfortable for some people. So make yourself comfortable. Make sure you've got warm socks on and a blanket over your legs and keep your lower body warm. Otherwise, that can cut off the circulation. But it is amazing. And I can tell when I'm massaging abdomens, when women have said to me, oh, yeah, I tried it and I didn't like it. And then they've tried it again later on because their whole abdomen feels warmer in general. It's really incredible the difference it makes.
And what's the kind of perception with kind of the medical profession of these types of methods and treatments? Are they being kind of poo-pooed, or are they actually, is there more education and awareness of how beneficial they can be within your doctor, for example?
Yeah, you see, I do have clients who say that their doctors just say, you've got unexplained infertility, that's it, that's the end of the story.
So that's frustrating. It.
Yes, and I feel their frustration, and I have had doctors like that. But I personally, I had my own health challenges, and I kept, you know, going around different GPs until I found one that listened to me. And my personal experience with doctors, when I tell them what I do, when I explain it from a logical viewpoint and just say, look, I believe it's worth giving these things a try. It'll either work for me or it won't. And that's what I say with my clients as well. It's working out what works for you. And at the end of the day, if you try something and it's got no harmful side effects, it's not going to interact with any of your medications, you feel better. And in some cases, it's brought back fertility, or, you know, gets rid of period problems or hormonal issues. Why would you not try it?
Yeah, no, exactly. And none of this costs anything. It's just you reassessing what's going on with yourself, and like the womb steam that you've just said is something that you can do at home. And I know that on your YouTube channel, which I love, it's called Womb Tube, and again, I'll put the details on the show notes. Some of the different videos that I know are popular are looking at how tampons can contribute to period pain and menstrual cups. Now, I'm sorry guys listening that we're going back onto the icky period stuff, but I've had conversations of late with girlfriends who have moved into using cups and are completely changed and are like real advocates for them. And there is such a, I guess, lack of understanding and awareness probably in the Western world of things like this. And we just get what we get from the supermarket. We just kind of do what we were told at school and deal with it. And it's only until we actually realise that there are these other options. Do you think people are becoming more so than maybe, well, maybe a podcast or maybe a YouTube video so now, but mainly it is going to be chatting amongst your friends, isn't it?
It is. And there is more awareness, particularly on the US and Canadian side of the pond. There are loads of different things like Fifth Vital Sign. They're a group of women who are helping get period awareness out there. And they look at obviously things like menstrual cups. There's lots of different things out there, but it does tend to be more on the US side. In Britain, we tend to be a bit more reserved. And not talk about it as much. But as you said, women who have tried menstrual cups or even different types of cloth pads, the difference is usually so astounding that they don't just become a convert. They want to tell everyone about it and they get really enthusiastic. So it is gradually spreading through word of mouth. But it is one of those things that you have to try for yourself, and you might be amazed at the difference just by switching from the sort of standard product to something different.
Do you think as well the awareness in the States and Canada is because the products are more readily available, as in you can see them when you're out and about rather than it just always being online? Because I've never seen a menstrual cup in a shop, and it was a friend that showed me a fabric pad that somebody, I thought it was an eye mask.
Yeah, I know Boots do have Moon Cups, which is one brand of menstrual cup, but you have to know to look for it.
Yeah.
But in the US, you can go into Target, which is, you know, pretty standard shop over there, and they have them there. And a lot of the chains of chemists like Duane Reade even have them there. And then you've got things like Whole Foods, which is, a lot of people think it's an upmarket supermarket, but it's like a sort of health, mood and organic food type supermarket, and they have things like that there as well, which are so much more readily available.
Let's talk a little bit about how you work with clients, because you do your consultations, and I know you do them in person, but you also do them via the power of the interweb. What kind of time frame would somebody work with you on? A couple of months?
Minimum to see a therapeutic effect would be 3 months. So if they wanted to see some, you know, a change in their cycle and work through several things, it would be 3 months, but usually sort of 6 months, or even with some cases it has been a year, but 6 months tends to be the sort of average. Yes.
And I know we focus mainly on if you've got kind of problematic periods for most of the work you do, but also you've talked about the fertility aspect of it. And if somebody is on a journey trying to conceive, and maybe they have been given a diagnosis of unexplained infertility, or maybe they've been told that there's a certain problem and therefore they're going to need fertility treatment, are you working with people in that sense? Because one thing that I try to get across with this podcast is, whilst I try to inform and educate about all the different types of fertility treatment, and I speak to experts and what have you, I'm also keen to get across that, you know, you shouldn't rush into it, and that even if you've been told that that's the route that you have to go, there could still be things that you could do before starting to get yourself into optimum health. So do you work with people in that place, and maybe people who have are already on that fertility journey going through fertility treatment as well?
Yes, I do. There are ways you can change your the protocols and the sort of systematic thing to support IVF cycles, for example. And the one thing that I think most of us don't really know is that your periods, if you've got period problems, you're going to have some form of fertility issue. It might not be enough to stop you from conceiving, but you will have some kind of fertility issue. The two are the same.
Just before you go any further, when you say period problems, okay, let's just be really clear about that. Because, for example, last month I had a bit of pain. I'm normally okay, but I had a bit of pain, but I just kind of took a tablet and took it easy, and I was aware of it, but I didn't. And obviously I'm more aware because of the conversations that I've been having of late, but I was thinking, I know full well that it's not the kind of pain that I know I've heard other women now talk about. So with me as an example, would you say, well, there could be something, or is there a bit of ache? I mean, is it right to assume that there is a bit of ache when you have your period?
If it's a little bit of an ache that you're kind of, it's more like a niggle, you're aware of it, it's in the background. And your hormones will have dropped during this period. So energy-wise, it's normal to feel not as much energy during this period of time and not as motivated to do things, more introverted, less wanting to go out and socialise. That's normal. But the pain, if you've got like a bit of an ache or a very odd, you know, one or two twinges maybe a day at the most, but nothing, you know, that would make you draw in a sharp breath or anything, that is normal. But any kind of period pain is an underlying sign of something. The most common things it tends to be is some form of inflammation. It can be switching around your sanitary products clears that up for you. But also sometimes it can be what you're eating. It can be stress that causes the inflammation. It can be something called estrogen dominance, which is one of the things in endometriosis as well as inflammation that can cause that. It can be thyroid issues, and all of these can make a difference to your cycle. So it could be if you've got estrogen dominance or thyroid issues that the second half of your cycle, the luteal phase, isn't quite long enough to sustain the pregnancy so you can conceive, but you can't keep that fetus there. So all these things do give you a clue as to what's going on with your cycle. And it might be that other women can conceive and hold a pregnancy with a very short luteal phase.
So I'm assuming that you work with people who have had to deal with recurrent miscarriage.
Yes.
Which is really interesting to think that that relates back to your period, because you'd assume once you're pregnant that the period part of it isn't as relevant.
It is absolutely as relevant, especially until the placenta grows. I think it's around about week 12. I can't remember the exact week. You need to be producing enough progesterone to stimulate your thyroid to do its job, because the endometrium, which is the bit that turns into your period, needs to be acting as an incubator for that egg to sort of nestle it, keep it warm, to be feeding nutrients. And your thyroid does a lot of that, and progesterone stimulates your thyroid. So if you've got thyroid issues, if you're not producing enough progesterone, those things might mean that you can conceive, but you're just not quite producing progesterone long enough to heat up your body to be able to sustain that pregnancy. It's a mixture of things. If they can come and see me, then we can also do the abdominal massage, which can help get more blood flow and circulation to that area, which has made huge difference in quite a lot of my clients, especially with fertility. But also looking at the nutrition, looking at the cycle, getting the clues from the cycle in advance. And I'll just put it out there because it is important to remember as well for the guys listening. Yes, I focus on women and the periods because it's something that we're quite lucky. We have this inbuilt sort of scorecard telling us what's going on with our hormones. But obviously, if a woman has what looks like a perfect cycle and there's a problem with the guy's sperm or there's a combined issue, then there's not too much that I can do just for the women alone. And that's when you need to bring the man in. But yeah, I do work with women and with couples throughout that journey, and even if they're going through IVF.
So you'd work with the guy in the sense that you'd maybe discuss different changes in their nutrition?
Mm-hmm. Usually, I am a women's health specialist, but a lot of the issues that women have, a lot of the nutrient deficiencies that cause fertility issues in women are the same with men. And also the number of men that put their laptops on their lap and start cooking their sperm.
Yeah, I mean, I always try to have a big emphasis on male fertility stuff on this podcast, and I think it's really good to know as well that this is a kind of a dual approach, because in essence it is, if it is a heterosexual couple that we're talking about.
Yes.
You mentioned just before about thyroid issues. I know you've got quite a lot of information again on your blog posts and on your womb tube as well. So there really is a wealth of information. How long have you been compiling all that you've been doing? Because there's a lot.
Yes. So obviously I've had previous knowledge of anatomy and physiology and how the body works, but I started studying this back in 2014. And I'm one of these sort of study junkies. I really get into it and keep furthering my knowledge and my professional training further. So I've been adding a lot in as I go. And I'm one of these people that I'm always on PubMed reading published studies as well.
Great.
So it's 3 years of knowledge stuck on that website.
Well, it's brilliant. And I'm going to say, and as I've said, I'm going to put all the details on the show notes. Rachel, it's been really interesting talking to you. And I love that, you know, there is just so much there that we can hopefully get out there. I mean, in an ideal world, we want this taught in schools, don't we?
Yes, absolutely. And there is so much that you can. I just like to say this because I know so many women on their infertility journey or fertility journey feel quite powerless, and there is a lot that you can do to take back some of that power and start understanding what is going on with your body. And then rather than sort of feeling at the hands of someone who's making decisions for you, if you know just a little bit about your cycle and how it works, you can start asking questions and have a more collaborative relationship and feel that you've got some of that control and space to make decisions yourself back.
And as a starting point, you've got this cycle charting toolkit, which I know you just kind of bung in your email. So like I say, I'll put all the details of your website on the show notes, and people can find out more and get charting. So thank you, Rachel. Really good to talk to you.
Thank you very much. And it's been wonderful speaking to you too.
All right. You take care.
And you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye. To find out more about Rachel and her website, just go to thefertilitypodcast.com/period. I didn't want to confuse you with different ways of spelling Rachel. They're the show notes for the episode. And as always, do let me know your feedback, Natalie at thefertilitypodcast.com. Right, until the next time.